Good evening. It is so nice to see everyone out this evening. Hope that you had a wonderful afternoon. And I know that we had a wonderful meal together this afternoon after service. Appreciate so much the time and preparation that went into that meal. Enjoyed the fellowship so very much. And just the time that we were able to spend together. What a wonderful time it was. Hopefully, many of you may have been home. I know several said they got a nap in this afternoon. And I'm glad about that. I was told by my own flesh and blood this afternoon, right before services this evening, that she was tired and that I better keep her awake tonight. Now, there were only two women in my life that I was with this afternoon, my sister and my mother, and you can decide which one made that comment. Don't get under my sister. Tonight we are going to discuss the joy of serving God. And I believe that there are oftentimes periods in our Christian life that we need to be reminded of this. I believe the devil puts a lot of doubt in our minds at times. The devil wants us to not focus oftentimes on what God has done for us, but a lot of times he wants us in our minds to focus on what God has not done for us. He wants us to focus how much we are giving our time to God, and yet sometimes he makes us say, but what am I getting in return? And we forget about the joy of serving God. I read an article a couple months back, and the article's title caught my attention. And the article stated this from the very beginning. It asked a question. Why are Christians happy? So when I saw that title, I thought, well, this should be interesting. And so I clicked on the article and I began reading, and in this article it was said, there's a movement of stoic people who sit around in spiritual straitjackets and are never really happy. So I thought, well, that doesn't sound like a group of people I know. And then they said, the church is just a group of old, unconcerned people who just talk but do nothing. And then they said, too serious a business. Well, I started to think about that a little bit. I thought, is there any truth to what they say? You know, it's one thing to just get mad about something, but then we have to think, is there any truth in what they will say? Even if I disagree with pretty much the whole entire article, which I did, you still have to stop the question, okay, but some of they said true. I began thinking about this a little bit. I thought, there is a lot of joy in serving God, and I believe Christians are happy. But there are times as well that we might lose that joy. There are certainly times that we come to worship God, and we don't have the joy that we should have. I was joking, of course, about my mother, but I can promise you that I have seen... You know that's my little mother?
It may be it. I forgot.
Technical difficulty. Let me put this baseball. Would that work?
No.
There. It's all. We're good. Okay, I have seen it. I have literally almost seen this right here. I'll pop the mouth, popped open. But you know what I've seen a lot more than that? I've seen this. That blank look. Have you ever seen that look yet? That, I mean, you know, they're looking. They look at you. But you know, there's nothing there. You know, they're looking straight ahead, but you realize they're not hearing the words coming out of my mouth. I've seen that. I've also seen a lot of this. Cell phone. Now, it's one thing if you're on your Bible and your cell phone, you know, and you know, you have that Bible app open, but you know, I've seen a lot of those young people And they, you know, the Bridgeport, they sit right up front. We got about two rows. They all sit right up front, which I would have never done, as you know, when I was here. But I see them on cell phones, and they're sitting there. And I know they're not looking at Scripture, because I'm not even giving them Scripture to look up. And there they are. Well, you know, most of the time, though, the people I know are like this. Those are the Christians I know. The Christians that are joyful and happy about the life that God has given them. And that's the group of people that I believe are here. But you know, I do think it's important for us to be reminded there is joy in serving God. God brings us much happiness in our life, but there are those, perhaps, who are not joyous in serving God. There are those who maybe have lost their joy, and I believe that can happen even. I have seen a lot of good Christian people in my life who, for whatever reason, and maybe a number of different reasons, lost their joy in serving God. And they left the church. They left the family. And people sat back and they thought, I never saw that coming. I never thought that would happen. As long as we continue to maintain the joy that we have in Jesus Christ and the joy that we have in fellowship with God, I don't believe we're going to leave the place. I don't believe we're going to walk away. But can it happen? Absolutely. Why aren't Christians happy? Well, look at Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, please. What you'll see in my PowerPoint, they're not too technical. I'm just pretty much going to give you verses and give you my outline for the most part. If you like to take notes, well, then you can take notes the rest of the week. I believe I'll have PowerPoints for most of the rest. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. I want you to notice what it said here. Really, verse 6 is verses 5 and 6, but the Bible says in verse 4, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat? What's their concern? Their concern's right here. The money. When's the new moon? When's the Sabbath going to be over so we can get back to business and we can get back to trading wheat? Because that's really what's important to us. It's not about the day that God has given us. We're more concerned with the things of this world. You know, when the things of the world become extremely important to us, the joy we have in serving God is going to be less important. But those things in the world then are going to take precedence in our lives, even if we don't need them. Now, go back to the chapter we were in this morning in the book of Malachi in chapter 1. And let's look at a verse we didn't look at this morning. Verse 13. After God has, of course, rebuked them because of the way they were worshiping Him, so that they were not giving the best that they had, in verse 13, they are called out again, and this is what it says. You often say, oh, what a weariness. Some of your translations might say, oh, what a burden. And that was their attitude. Oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I put this in your hand? You know, when we have forgotten about the joy that we have in serving God, this is how we approach worship. We approach it saying, oh, what a burden. Oh, I have to go to worship. I have always tried to approach my relationship with God, especially when I'm worshiping God, with not, I have to go to worship. Because I don't believe I have to go to worship. I believe I get to go to worship. It's something we get to do. It's something we should be excited about. It's something we should look forward to, and not something we just have to do. I look at mowing the grass as something I have to do. I don't want to mow the grass, but guess what? I have to mow the grass. I get to worship God. There is joy in worshiping God. Well, there are some examples we're going to look at for this moment about those who did lose their joy. What about Judas? Did Judas lose his joy in serving Christ? Absolutely. We know about that he sold Christ out for? What about Ananias and Sapphira? The same thing. Here they are doing a good deed, a good work. They sell that land. And you know, if they were to keep back a portion of that land and say, you know what, we did work our land and we did sell it and we want to keep back 50% of that, there would have been no problem whatsoever. The problem was they lied about what they did. They said, oh, we're getting it all.
No, you're not.
What caused them to lie? Acts chapter 5 says they have to lie to the Holy Spirit. What caused them to lie?
Once again, their joy was found in that dollar bill.
And then what about Demas? You know who Demas was? Demas is one of those men in the New Testament. We can't forget about Demas. But Demas was a companion of Paul. Traveled with Paul on missionary journeys. He must have heard Paul preach countless number of times. As a man who we read, we can pretty much believe that Demas also was speaking and teaching other people, being that he was traveling right alongside with Paul. And you notice 2 Timothy with me for just a moment in chapter 4. And notice what Paul says here about Demas, a very sad word. After he has told Timothy, hey, you know, I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, they have done it for me, a crown of righteousness,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to own, but also to all those who love his appearing.
He makes this grand statement, and then he says in verse 9, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. When we start to lose the joy that we have in serving God, you can believe the devil's going to be there to pick up on that. And he's going to place that temptation in front of us. The devil wants us to believe that there is so much joy this world has to offer you. And I'm not going to tell you there's certain things this world has to offer that are not joyful. They are. And there are a lot of things this world has to offer that's appealing to the flesh. But anything the world has to offer is not sustainable. It won't last. It won't end. And then the church at Laodicea, they forgot about the joy they had to the Lord. In fact, they are rebuked in Revelation chapter 3 because they lost that joy, and they are called out because they are lukewarm. In fact, Jesus says, I wish you were either hot or cold and not lukewarm. But because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out. You stop and you think about that for just a moment. About the lukewarmness and how Jesus looked at that. And I believe the biggest problem in the church today as a whole is lukewarmness. I fully believe that is the biggest problem in the church today. Do you like to eat lukewarm? You stop and you think about food. You either want it hot or you want it cold, right? I'll tell you, there's not much I like at McDonald's. In fact, we rarely go there. I am so thankful that my son just despises that place, and that is great. But you know, every now and then, I get a hankering for some french fries from McDonald's. But if I do anything right, it's french fries. But you know what I really don't like? Is when I get them and they're just lukewarm. I'll take a bite and I'm like, back in the bag they go. Well, I'm hot, right? You know, Jesus, he's very clear here with us about what he wants from us. And folks, I believe a lot of times, it's sad to say, but we're not as joyous in our service to God as we should be. And we can improve, and we can stop, and we can look, because we have seen so many that once named Christ who've lost that joy. And you can please, and you can talk to these people, and there's no movement. Why? My opinion is this. Many have never really known the joy that Jesus Christ has to offer. Because for a lot of people, it stops right there. In the baptistry. baptized into Christ, come up walking in the newness of life, and yet they never really go full force. They never really give God and Christ all they have to offer.
And when that's the case, you're never going to know the joy that Jesus Christ has to offer.
Oh, it does not stop right here. It starts right here. And then what is it that you do from there as you grow in your grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what kind of joy do we need? Well, let's first start and say what it's not. It's not just a lighthearted, giggling, worldly joy. You can see on the screen there, it's a calm assurance of the soul and the peace of mind. When you have a peace of mind, you have joy. Paul went through a lot of trying circumstances in his life, but Paul said, I can always have joy. Why? He had a peace of mind. You think about marriage, children, jobs, a lot goes on in life. A lot of circumstances, even our health. But you know, when we have a peace of mind, we can still have joy. And that's what God provides for us. You see, what we forget a lot of times is the source of where joy comes from. And it's from God. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy. We forget that God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, that's the source of joy. It's not the things of this world. You know, Webster defines joy as a very glad feeling, happiness, or delight. You know, joy in the Bible is used 60 times. So 50 times it's used, and you see there the Hebrew word literally means to leap inside. That's what it means. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be happy. Does that mean there ought to be trying times in your life? No, there aren't going to be. There are going to be a lot of difficult moments. There are going to be a lot of trials and times and tribulations. Are there going to be times in your life when you have some doubts? Yes, there are. But God wants you to know that you will prevail. God wants us to know that all things will work together for the good to those who love Him. Never doubt God's happiness or God's joy for you in your life. Never question that for one moment. You want to know why I know that? I have two kids that God has blessed me with. I feel so blessed when I watch them and I see them, and they make me laugh all the time. The one thing I can promise you is this: I surely want them to be happy. And I want them to experience a lot of joy. And I'm going to do everything I can to provide them that joy and that happiness. And then I stop and I realize, God's my Father. And I'm His child. And you're His child. And He wants you to be happy. And He wants you to be joyous. And there's many times you're not, just like my children. But what happens when my children come home and they're not joyous and they've had a difficult time? What do? I'm there to pick them up, right? I mean, that's what fathers do. That's what mothers do. And that's what God does for us when we give Him a chance. Go to Psalm 35, verse 9. There's Psalm 35, verse 9. And let's read this together. And then we must move on, because we are already running out of time tonight. Psalm
I don't remember. The last time I came, did they have a clock above that wall back there, did they? Or was it just one over here?
It wasn't.
I think they put that up for you. That, Psalm 35, verse 9. Read this with me, please. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and shall rejoice in His salvation. That's where your soul is going to be joyful. Your soul is going to be joyful in the Lord. Well, who are some that do not find joy in serving God? Many husbands and wives in the home do not find joy in serving God. Christians, non-Christians, they just don't find joy in serving God. Because why? Because my whole life. You mean to tell me I'm going to find joy if I submit to my husband, as the Bible says? You mean that I have to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? You mean that I have to obey my parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord, and I'm going to find joy in obeying my parents in all things? Yes. Because when we do it God's way will always work. See, the dilemma is a lot of times we don't find joy in the home because we're trying to do it part God's way and part our way. And God's will and my will usually don't click. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let's just see for a moment what Peter has to say here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. He says here, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands. Why, Peter? Well, he tells us why here. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the chaste conduct of their wives. That they without a word may be won. What's it? You find out. Now, preach it to them. That they can be converted not by you preaching to them, but by their husband seeing Christ living in you. By your example that you live. And then notice what he says in verse 2. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on the fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious inside of God. There's the joy. The joy is that person, that hidden person of the heart, that incorruptible beauty, that quiet spirit that is precious in the sight of God. The joy is not found in verse 3. The outward adornment, the hair, the gold, the fine apparel. That's not where the joy lies. Nothing wrong with those things. You know, ladies, we know we can buy you the best purse. My wife, she's a purse lady. She likes this purse. She's never been real big in the jewelry. That's a blessing. But she likes purses. And she likes shoes. And you know what I found about shoes and purses is this. It doesn't take them long to become outdated. Right? Shut up, purse. And so long, she'll say, oh, well, this one's getting a little old. Let's get a new one. Now, I joke about that because I really don't care. But that's not what happiness is found. You know, some are not happy in serving God because, well, they're just not doing it God's way. Some are not happy in the job or at school in the midst of their friends because they find it a burden to be faithful. It's a burden. It's hard to be faithful. And there's times many Bible class teachers are not finding joy in teaching. I understand. Teach your butt out. I've seen it everywhere I've gone. Everywhere I've been. But you know, this is what I want to say to the Bible class teachers. You'll never understand the difference you're making in these children's lives. You'll never know the impact that you're making. No child's going to come up most of the time and go,
Thank you so much for teaching my Bible class. And they're not going to do that because they're children. But you are making a difference in their life. And it gives you any happiness at all. I want you to stop and think for a moment. What greater joy can you ever have in your life than teaching a child about God? And about what God wants for his or her life. It's a blessing. A while back, I asked Carson, I said, hey, I said, how's Bible Bowl going? We were working on Bible Bowl. I said, how's Bible Bowl going? He said, it's great, Dad. He said, I love Mr. Don. Mr. Don's one of the teachers in the Bible Bowl. I said, did you really love Mr. Don? And he said, yeah, Dad. He said, he's a lot of fun. He said, I've learned a lot from him. And he said, I cannot wait till when I get up to the teenage class. I said, why can't you wait to get to the teenage class? He said, because Mr. Don's going to be a teacher in it. He already said so much of Mr. Don at church. He just, you know, Dad gets up there, I try to preach, and I tell the others, Mr. Don's up here, Dad's down here. Sounds real. Because he looks up to that Bible class teacher. And the one thing I could say is this, if you don't teach that, teach Bible class, you're missing out. You are missing out on an opportunity to influence and mold young people. To encourage them. But a lot of people don't find joy. And we attend worship services and we find no joy. A lot of times people walk into the building, they're not joyous about being here. I was talking to a person one day. I said, what do you think worship should be? And she responded immediately. And she said, reverence. And I said, reverence. I said, what does reverence mean? He said, respectful. And I said, what does respectful mean? But as I could tell, she wasn't happy. I told a joke, and she did not think we should be laughing in the church house. And I said, so reverence means that you look at me with a straight face and never smile for 30 minutes. And then we're getting somewhere. And so I came back to her a week later, and I said, well, I did a little more studying. And I said, you know what I found? And she said, well, I said, I found that reverence is used 13 times in the Bible. She said, I knew it was in there. And I said, good, I looked, and I found where joy and worship. And I said, in the book of Psalms alone, joy and worship are found 27 times. I said, we're allowed to enjoy worship. God wants us to enjoy as we worship Him. Should it be respectful? Absolutely. But the best way that you're going to be respectful to God is by obeying His truth, following His word. As we commune and we give and we preach and we sing and we pray and we're following what the Bible has told us, we're being respectful to God in every way. Because we are doing what God has commanded us. And so I want to very quickly, to look at some things to be joyous about. The first thing we need to be joyous about is your salvation. Are you joyous about your salvation that you have in Jesus Christ? You should be. I want you to go to Luke chapter 10 with me, please. Luke chapter 10. Jesus has sent the 70 out. And I want you to notice what Jesus said to them, because this is a great text. In Luke chapter 10, he says here in verse 17, did the 70 return? And I want you to notice what it said here. The 70 returned with joy, right? They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject in your name. I want you to notice what he says here in verse 19, or 18 and 19. He said it, and I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the serpent and the scorpion, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now notice what Jesus said. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. He's talking about what he just said. Don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Heaven rejoice. You rejoice because your name is written in heaven, because your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You rejoice because you have assurance in your salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. We also have much joy in the Lord's work. You know, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said, rejoice.
He said that as he was in prison. And if Paul looked at his life and he was being kicked out of the city, he would say, I'm being kicked out of the city. I must have done something right. They're kicking me out for a reason. Why? Because I was preaching. Because I was turning this world upside down. You know, God, Christ's work is the greatest work in the world. And you get to take part in that. Let that bring you joy. Rejoice in your trial. This is a tough one. It's tough to rejoice in trials. It's tough to rejoice. In fact, I believe that's why Peter says in 1 Peter 1:8, it's an unspeakable joy. Because trials are hard. I've watched some of my closest friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, go through a lot. And at times I've looked and I've seen what they're going through, and there are some friends that I have that are going through a lot in their life. And there have been times that I've looked and thought, that's not fair. That's just not fair that they're having to go through this again. One of my closest friends, fellow preacher, he's had a rough go at it time. He's one of the happiest people I know. Makes me laugh every time I'm around him, and he makes others laugh, and he's happy, and he's been through a lot more trials than most people I know. You know, James is right. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Find joy being under the law of liberty, not under the law of sin, not under the old law, and then count your blessings. The song says, to name them one by one. Have you been blessed? And everybody should be doing this right now, because I can promise you we've all been blessed. I believe we all drove here tonight. I believe we're all going to go home tonight. We're going to get in our home. We're going to lay down in our comfortable bed. We're going to get a good night's sleep. Yes, we have been blessed by God. You know, serving others will bring us joy. Seeing friends and family saved will bring us joy. But then I want to give me one more point, please, if you will allow. You only have me for a couple more days, and I'm going, so please give me one more point. And that is, I want to talk very quickly about the hindrances to joyous service. And I believe the first is a failure to understand the nature of Christianity. Many people have just enough Christianity to be miserable. You ever know anybody like that? They have just enough for no heaven. And you know what? They want to complain about anything and everything on the table. Don't be that person. You want joy? Total commitment. Total commitment. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, but if deny himself, take up his cross and follow after me daily. That's what we have to do. Total commitment will bring us, if you're half in, half out, you're not going to have the joy. It's a hindrance. It's not a help. Jesus never said this is going to be the easiest path or the easiest road. A lot of times we don't have the joy because we fail to grow. You know, if we're not studying and reading our Bible the way God expects us to, we're not going to grow and we're not going to have the joy that is available. Spend time in your Bible, studying your Bible. A lot of times, we just worry too much. I read something one time that said, there is nothing to 90% of our worries. Is that true? There is nothing to 90%, but we worry so much about anything and everything, and it just sucks the joy right out of you. And you spend your life full of anxiety, full of worry. And yet God says what? Don't worry. Cast your care on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be. Many think, well, I can't do enough. You're right about that, you can't. Nobody can do enough. We're never going to do enough. God, I've realized a while back that, you know, one of these days I'm going to get to heaven because, one, I have been a faithful Christian, Lord willing.
But I'm going to get to heaven because I serve a God that is loving and kind and a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of love. I'm not going to get to heaven because Ryan Curry is the greatest Christian that's ever walked the face of the earth. I told you this morning, I had to make a public repentance about this stuff, but they thought they're dead.
I didn't really almost do that. That's a little stretch. Don't put that on the internet. But we can't do enough. That we try to earn our way into heaven. You cannot earn your way. One day I sit back and I start figuring it out. And I think about this. And I said, okay, how many sermons have I preached since I started? And so I figured out about the gospel meetings I've preached, the Wednesday night Bible classes that I've taught, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I said, well, I don't preach, 52 weeks in a year. About 48, 49 weeks is what I probably preach. And I started doing the math, it was about 1,900 sermons is what I've been able to see. That's a blessing. And I believe 1,900 sermons is a good bit more than most of you have preached. And yet that's still not enough to get me into heaven. Because I can't earn my way in. You know, a lot of times we have that attitude. Because we can't do it enough, it's a hindrance. You see, and then there's other times we have felt to be joyous in your midst. That's our fault. Be positive. Don't be always complaining. Don't be always finding fault. It's easy to find fault. It's easy to complain. It's easy to be mad. Think positive. You want joy, to follow what Paul said, and meditate on these things. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Meditate on the good things. In the book of Acts, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. And we read about Paul when he came and was, or when Philip was sent to him. The Bible says that he came and he opened up and he began to preach Jesus to him. The Bible says he came with some water and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip says nothing if you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The eunuch says, I do. The Bible says in both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Why did he get down the water? Well, because he had to be immersed. And then that water for immersion. But what is said after that is so important. After he is immersed into Christ and he has put on Christ the baptism, the Bible says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. You want joy in your life? It's in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can search, you can look, but joy is found in Christ. Joy is found in God. Joy is found when you obey God's word and do God's will. You will find joy in your life. Maybe it is your struggle. But I'm your Christian walk. I appreciate so much Brother Brandon coming forward this morning and saying, I need prayer. He was an example. Because we are praying for him and we know that he's going to grow and I know that he's already gained strength from that this morning. If you're here and you need prayers for church or you need to obey the gospel, will you come right now?